Washington state lawmakers managed to end their legislative session without coming up with a way to adequately fund K through 12 education, even though they were under a court order from the state Supreme Court to do just that. If our problems seem bad, don't look at what's happening to our countrymen up north. Alaska has a hole in the state budget, a hole of $3.5 billion, thanks to the drop in oil revenues. That's led to some serious problems with funding education there. New York Times reporter Kirk Johnson has been looking into those school funding problems. He told KOW's Bill Radke that in rural Alaska, some schools may have to shut down.
I think it's very much of a tale of two states. Of here, Alaska made big, deep-pocketed promises to its schools for decades. After the oil started flowing in the 70s and 80s, they said, we are going to commit to schools, especially in expensive, remote, off-the-grid rural communities. And the system and the oil flow, with gaps here and there and crashes, largely allowed them to keep that promise. And now it's really becoming a crisis for them.
You say expensive and remote. I mean, wow, paint that picture of what it's like sustaining a school system statewide in Alaska.
Yeah. There are island communities. There are off-the-road system communities that everything that's there has to be flown in. And they're tiny, too. So you have to build a school, and then you have to heat it, and you have to hire teachers. And there are districts with a handful of students where they spend $50,000 up towards $60,000 per pupil to run these little tiny schools. And that is a real crunch.
What is proposed? How big a hit to Alaska schools?
The University of Alaska would take probably as big a hit as anything. Some of the proposals there would result in 500, 600, 700 job losses and consolidation of campuses. At the local level, the public schools, there was a proposal that was floated and went on the table, and now it seems to have faded out for the moment, that would double the size limit at which a school could exist to be funded at all. Currently, you have to have 10 students.
10 students.
To be a state-funded school. And
maybe on an island, maybe in a hard-to-get-to, hard-to-heat, et cetera,
10.
Spot.
And 10 is a threshold that a lot of school systems flirt with. One lawmaker has proposed bumping that to 20. And below 20, you get, you're not funded. And that would kill off, really, many of these rural communities, since the school is in many cases the anchor of the community. There's a place I've been talking to called Beaver, which is north of Fairbanks. They reached the crisis point even before any of this last fall when they fell down to 9 students. They managed to cob together enough to keep the school going, and they have a kindergartner who's going to rescue the school next year and enroll and bring it back to 10. If the number changes to 20, they're doomed. With that school closing, what parents say is we would probably move with our children to where there's a school. And so much for Beaver, really. You know, so much for these little communities if the school is gone.
So much for Beaver. We read somewhere that oil revenue is so low now that the tax breaks that Alaska gives to oil companies, that accounts for more money than the money Alaska is getting from oil companies.
And it seems to be getting worse. I think it was last week, there was a one-day fluctuation of the price of oil. And the governor said, that's $300 million more from our budget that we got to find.
You hear that, Washington State? You think your lawmakers have money troubles? Here's a similarity between our states, no income tax.
Yeah.
What are the odds Alaska goes to an income tax?
Not good this year. I think that's a tough nut for a lot of the lawmakers to get their heads around.
Because you know we had this debate here in Washington.
Yeah. And I think the one that the governor has proposed there is a really minuscule. It's more of a, you know, camel under the
nose under the tent.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's what they're saying is, you know, we start
a moose nose.
Where do we go from there? Exactly.
Let's talk about some of that emotion and just the psychology of going from a state that famously pays its citizens with its gushing surpluses to being in this situation, maybe shutting down schools and whole communities. How's Alaska handling this?
There's a lot of denial still. I think there's a certain element of residents and lawmakers who have not really faced up to where things are because they don't want to. When Alaska has had these crashes before, most notably in the 80s, when things were really dire, people left. The people who moved to Alaska in good times said, good times are happening somewhere else. I'm out of here. I don't like the winters anymore.
And what would Alaska be like then?
Alaska has depended on the idea of wanting to go to Alaska. When people start leaving and they don't keep coming, that's when Alaska really starts to stumble. And I think when you talk to business leaders and economic development people, that's the one where they worry is, do our demographic numbers crash? Do these struggling rural communities, if we pull out supports, do they crumble? And where do those people go? If they get into economic trouble, do they drift into cities like Anchorage? And then we have social costs there that we hadn't budgeted for. So it's sort of a demographic, I mean, not quite time bomb, but a demographic, what is the word I would use?
Time bomb?
It's a potential time bomb at this point.
Kirk Johnson is the Seattle bureau chief for the New York Times. He told Bill Radke about heavy cuts to education funding in Alaska.